This has been an emotional few years for you. Can you tell us what audiences can expect from the new album?
This is a culmination of my life's work so far. I was under a lot of stress after my accident, but that's what the show is about. It's about rebirth.
And we're back. Welcome once again to another episode of Mike, Mike, and Oscar. And for the sixth, and I know we said this last time, but I think this is final time, right?
We have milked this series for all it is worth.
I think these are the final Oscar trailer reviews that you will get from us. The sixth time we are doing this. This is Mike, Mike, and Oscar. I am your co-host, Mike One. This is co-host also Mike.
Also, Mike, that Oscar cow, Oscar trailer cow, is just exhausted.
Getting ready to turn into burger meat, I think.
I take metaphors and I take them too far.
But yes, there is a new crop of Oscar contending trailers, or might be, could be, maybe contenders, that we're going to analyze and bring to you as sort of a way of previewing the movies themselves, and previewing the reviewing the previews, right. I guess is another way to say it. So we're going to dive right in, and the first one of these is the second trailer for Roma.
Yeah, I thought we were like stretching a little bit, but the last couple days a bunch of big names came out, and Roma, of course, is the first of those. I mean, look, I've been waiting to see this movie give us a promotional something.
Right.
That got a rise out of me.
Show what the movie's like has within it.
This gave me goosebumps.
Same
like
here.
A whole gaggle full of gooses, geeses, and whatever's gagglers.
A geese bump is what you're saying.
A geese bump. Yeah, it gave me a geese bump. Yeah. I was freaking out at this because this was gorgeous. This was beautiful. This
was absolutely stunning to look at. It's very Cuaron-centric.
Like, the only repeated shot is, like, that hug from the first trailer that kind of gave, you know, got a reaction out of me. I was like, wow, that's a great hug. But that was, like, it. It's just, like, people cleaning things, black and white.
Yeah.
What's this movie about?
And for it being just those basic things, you're right, the visuals are quite striking.
There are like heartbreaking gestures in this trailer. Like the girls running across the street, they almost get hit by a car, but then they keep moving. It's just like, oh my God. And then we have the scene where there's all the stuff happening outside, the riots. We have the wife after the hug. We didn't really see what happened after the hug, but a parade goes by.
The
irony of that.
The little lizard or Komodo dragon or whatever running around, that's very Lynchian type influence for the subtext of what's going on by the ground.
I wanted to like watch a sunrise after this trailer, Michael. I just wanted to live more of life.
The numbers for this one couldn't be higher. 99% Rotten Tomato right now. 9.2 out of 10 critic score. That might be the highest average critic score we've had so far.
Yes.
96 Metascore right now.
Suffice it to say, this is going to contend in all categories, I think.
I keep forgetting it's a Netflix property, too.
Right.
Like, because the visuals are so striking, because it is Alfonso Cuarón, you forget all the drama that was tied into it. We've done it. If you don't know what we're talking about, we've recapped the drama a couple times in different Oscar trailer preview episodes, so go back and listen to those. But there was a lot of film festival drama and tied in with this, and now they are going to release it in a couple theaters, so it is qualified for the Oscars. It's qualified for the foreign film feature category as well, which is probably going to be a shoo-in, everyone is starting to say. Cuarón seems to be the leader in the clubhouse for Best Director.
Yeah, a major contender. For Best Picture, of course, mm-hmm. Best Original Screenplay, Best Actress, Supporting Actress, Cinematography, Sound Mixing. And here's the kicker, and something you were kind of aggravated about on Twitter there, Best Foreign Language Film.
Yeah, I wasn't crazy with that it got in, only because I think foreign film has a lot of contenders that aren't going to otherwise get a spotlight that could have contended for the title, and now because this one's there, it seems like it's a foregone
conclusion.
This
was kind of your popular film argument. Black Panther would win popular film, and they would put it in its place, and then it wouldn't win Best
Pretty
Picture.
Much. Right.
And that's probably what's going to happen here. This is going to win Best Foreign Language Feature, and it's not going to win.
Kind of muscle out Shoplifters, Burning, The Board.
Cold War.
There's a couple others. So, yeah, I'm not thrilled with that, but I understand it, and it is at least going to walk away for sure with one Oscar on the night in the foreign feature category. It's a Golden Lion winner from the Venice Film Festival, as Best Picture, Shape of Water, was also the first Golden Lion winner last year to win the Best Picture Oscar, so that hasn't not a huge
parallel.
Legacy of Golden Lion winners actually having success at the Academy Awards. Shape of Water kind of forged their own path last year.
Maybe the new Academy is basically the cross-section of the Venice Film Festival.
Right, there you go. And it could be that. All that negativity, and there are some negative correlations with this thing's awards chances to win Best Picture, is a way of prefacing the statement of, I'm pretty sure, for me, I just saw the trailer for the Best Picture winner, because this trailer is stunning, like we've said.
I love this trailer, and a couple other trailers really grabbed me this year. First Man, And sure. that turned out yep. all, pretty well.
Very visually striking.
And as an A-minus goes, I liked A Star Is Born, and that trailer really rocked me to the core.
Sure, man, even if we did get a little sick of it or was a little overplayed. And
but at least those moments played. So now we have some more insight into these characters. We got these housekeepers. We got the family with some drama going on.
Sure.
We got the housekeepers with some drama going on. We got the Mexico City breaking out in chaos. And then we have like this candid version of like a Hallmark commercial. Right?
Yeah.
But just like with beautiful cinematography and just emotion, just stirring images one after another in this trailer.
And it's taking recent, it's borrowing from recent pictures that have had a lot of success, like the black and white of Best Picture winner, The Artist from 2012 was the black and white foreign film. It has that Lynchian feel again, that kind of like blue velvet intro with the small insects going through mayhem underneath the surface, even though humans are doing other
tapestry
stuff.
Tapestry is the word I was
So it's really, it's a total amalgamation of a bunch of different things. And I think it's going to lead
like
to
Mexico
success.
City's a character.
Which
story.
Is another one that I had written down. Thank you for recapping. The city itself I completely read over it, but it's like The Wire. And The Wire is one of the most revered television shows of all time, True. Where it turned Baltimore into a character in and of itself. And that's exactly what it seems like is happening here.
I'm a little confused of the title Roma, but
I don't get it either.
I don't
but
get it.
Far be it from me to question anything about Cuarón.
We can watch this 1,000 times. It's going to be on Netflix. I think it's coming out December 13th, and then it's on Netflix a week later.
Something like that.
Something like that.
It has a small opening. So, yeah, I'm excited to see it and can't wait to see what's in store there.
Next trailer was Destroyer. This is Nicole Kidman's Best Actress vehicle, 11th on awards circuit, a major threat on Feinberg. The original score was also showcased for a while, where it was getting a ton of Oscar buzz, where it was in the top 15, top 10. That's kind of fell off the map a little bit. Kidman, Sebastian Stan, Tatiana Maslany, Scoot McNairy, Toby's Huss and Cabell, and Bradley Whitford. A lot of Mike and Oscar favorite actors.
Big names there. In that Sebastian group. Stan, Bradley Whitford, Nicole Kidman, obviously.
Maslany from Stronger, Sebastian Stan from I, Tonya,
sure.
Scoot McNairy from Halt and Catch Fire, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Toby Huss, we just seen him in Halloween. He was the dad.
All right,
the bald
sure.
dad there. So Bradley Whitford, of course, Get Out and Cabin in the Woods. I'm a fan of this cast. I'm also a fan of the director, Mike. Girl Fight and The Invitations. Karen Kusama directs. She did an awesome job with those two movies. And if I'm honest with this trailer, this kind of looks nutty. I'm high and low on it. I know you're kind of low on it, but
it seems a little Oscar grabby. I mean, some of the dialogue is, you know, do you love me? You know I do. Yeah, okay. Maybe. For at the one hand, it's like, if you're going to be an undercover cop robbing a bank, maybe don't fall in love with the biggest bad guy there.
It's Sebastian Stan.
Though. On the other hand, it's Sebastian Stan. And if falling in love with Sebastian Stan during a bank robbery was a
then
crime,
then we're guilty.
We're all guilty.
Guilty as charged. We're watching Dewey Cox too much these days, at least I am. The Metascore scares me a little bit. 64 Rotten Tomatoes gives it an 85%, 7.3 though. So that gives us
a couple
some hope.
Movies that are going to have the split like that, where one score is way lower than the other. It worries me. It's a 7.3 average score. The IMDb rating is a 6.8.
Huh.
Anytime there's like a handful of IMDb reviews and it's not a wow score, I get a little worried as well, because first of all, it means that they're not letting people preview it. Second of all, if you are one of the few people that do preview it and do rate it on IMDb, why wouldn't you put it a 9 or a 10 if it's even serviceable?
Yeah, red flags.
Yeah, so those are big deals to me. Right. So again, a 6.8 right now on IMDb, less than 500 reviews.
Score.
I have a bad feeling that the most viral thing about this is going to be the picture that everyone on film Twitter keeps passing
around.
Oh,
yeah, it's already viral.
Right, so that kind of, I don't know, I'm a little worried about
this.
The
wigs aren't great. I will say that as a peccadillo. Like, both her wigs, when she's younger, Nicole Kidman, detective, destroyer detective, and when she's older, and neither hairdo works.
We should make we might have to do that as like a special episode, a correlation between quality of film and believability of wig.
Hair.
Yeah.
The score does get under our skin a little bit in this trailer.
I like the score.
There's a ton of baggage for that character, so it's a loaded character study, I think. I think she's got reservations as a detective. I think the title makes it sound like she's going to go off the reservation and start some shit. I mean, she's literally has a machine gun and she's lighting people up in this thing.
Now, I wonder if this is going to do for Nicole Kidman's career, what your, I guess, character or mindset or kind of not being typecasted as to what Atomic Blonde did for Charlize Theron and just turn her into a total madman ass kicker there.
Well, I mean, Charlize Theron kind of had the Mad Max and before that Aeon Flux, which didn't go well, but she kind of dabbled in action a little bit.
That's true.
More Nicole Kidman, the interpreter, maybe the closest thing she's come to action, the peacemaker.
Big Little Lies, she kind of had not action scenes, but it was heavy, intense drama.
She
was playing a victim there. So
she
maybe
deserved every award she got.
Yeah, that was, she was awesome in that. So she has proven she can kind of dabble, I would say. I don't know if she's gone full blown ass kicker like this seems to be, so it's going to be a nice change of pace.
She's a surrogate mother in this trailer. There's a I like detective stories, so
I do too.
If there's a past and a future, if there's a long past with a mystery involved in it, and there's this little girl who we don't know where she's from, I'm kind of interested. I trust Karen Kusama. She makes good movies.
You have more experience with her than I do, admittedly. So
two for two, as far as I was concerned, the two I've seen. Anyway.
I'm as hopeful. I'm hoping to get to as positive about it as you are before it comes out.
So Mike Vox Lux.
Yeah, what the hell is this trailer? Like, this is a Natalie Portman trailer where she's playing this superstar that we joked about it the whole time in the last couple of months, how Natalie Portman is playing the Gaga role.
Right.
And Gaga is playing the role that Natalie Portman would traditionally do. But this is Natalie Portman, a day in the life of her being a superstar and kind of living her own life and being on the edge and basically the Lady Gaga character, except more of devious of a past, it seems.
Now, they have a company line for all this. They'll say it's more based on Kanye West, because I'm sure they're asked that question 100,000 times.
And then there's like a flash of a SWAT team going by with giant guns. It's like, what is happening here?
There's SWAT team, there's gunmen. I have no idea what's going on. A trailer is bonkers.
Insane. I can't even figure out the through line. The music going through it is really well done, as I would assume any movie focusing on a big pop star, a big singer would have to be. It's not probably going to outshine A Star Is Born. Again, we're in this place where these reviews are a little worrisome, I would say.
High numbers, though. 84 Metascore, 86% Rotten Tomatoes, 7.6 out of 10.
Yeah, the Rotten Tomato, the Meta rating is an 82 right now. And then again, the IMDb on just over 700 votes is down to a 6.1. So we have that dichotomy and that kind of one in the other doesn't make sense. What are you going to believe?
Now, this is very strange because this is a Natalie Portman-centric trailer, if there ever was one, correct?
Oh, she's going off.
You have Jude Law. Willem Dafoe's not even seen. Raffi Cassidy plays younger Portman, younger Cecilia, I forget her name is. And then there's Christopher Abbott, who's a reporter from The Sinner and whatnot. Now, Natalie Portman is up for a Best Supporting Actress category, which is strange. She's a possibility for Feinberg. She's 10th on award circuit. And apparently, like, what the buzz we've heard, and I'm wondering how the hell this happens, but Portman is only in half of the movie.
So was Janet Leigh in Psycho.
57 years ago, Mike. I don't know. I can't do math.
Well, Vox Lux being...
It's like 80 years ago, actually.
Portman being a supporting character in Vox Lux makes no sense because she is the trailer. She has been the promotional material. She's the poster.
But when
the poster's her face, for Christ's sake.
You know, Brady Corbett apparently does a nice job with this movie. Everybody likes it. Written and directed by him. He's an actor turned director. But you wonder if he got pushed around in the marketing of this movie because, I mean, it's simple. To market this movie, you should market it on your star, even if she's not only in it for half the movie. I get that. I mean, I just read a Bette Davis book where she was only in 8 minutes and they marketed the whole goddamn thing about Bette Davis.
And if anyone's going to take the mantle from Bette Davis, Natalie Portman has the capability, that's for sure. I'm a little more hopeful of this one than I would say I am of The Destroyer because having just reviewed The Kindergarten Teacher, follow me through this wild field, this path I'm forging. But having just reviewed The Kindergarten Teacher, we saw how the movies that are a little heavier to take don't seem to play well in the scores of the general audiences.
Right.
And this one has the 80-something Metacritic, and it's got an 80-something Rotten Tomato critic score. It would seem that 6.1 of IMDb is maybe the casual viewer score, so there's reason to believe that narrative is in place, at least I would say.
That's a good point.
So I could see how The Kindergarten Teacher, Suspiria is another one. One maybe follows in those footsteps.
You should work in like political science or something.
Or maybe film criticism.
Maybe film criticism. That works. So I just wonder if this movie's mismarketed a bit too, like at this point.
It's been a problem with recent releases. Don't go back last year to Mother, how mismarketed that was.
I mean, if Raffi Cassidy...
And it
Cassidy,
does affect the acceptance of it.
Raffi Cassidy, if she's great, then who cares? But if her Celeste character is the protagonist of this film, and we only get Natalie Portman for those scenes that we all saw in the trailer, and that's it. Those scenes.
If she is stabbed to death in the shower, how do you feel about that?
Spoiler alert! I would be crazy.
Just kidding. Vox Lux is Italian for Psycho. Gotcha.
I thought the teaser was good, and now we have a trailer that's batshit crazy, but again, it's pretty strong.
Yeah, if the marketing is being deceitful, it will upset me because I've been buying into the marketing so hard.
Yeah.
Like the teaser. The teaser was awesome, I thought. I was hyped up to see what the hell Natalie Portman had in store. Showing her character having this edge to her, this sharp edge to her, it just makes me want to see it even more. So knowing that she's up for supporting, it's making me pump the brakes. Like, what the hell?
She's throwing tantrums in this trailer. She's also like stare downs with Jude Law.
Yeah.
Just the expression she makes with Christopher Abbott in that very first shot. Just like rolling her eyes, but crazy roll of your eyes. Like what the Toni Collette roll of the eyes. It's just Looney Tunes.
And it has that Oscar season release. It's like December 9th, I think, as it's going wide. Very confused by this one, but hopeful. And again, hoping that it follows the Suspiria kindergarten teacher, that kind of arc where it's more for, I guess, the critics than a general Saturday night audience.
So that's Vox Lux. Next movie here is Green Book. There's a bunch of new TV spots that kind of rested on the laurels of their first trailer. And a lot of these TV spots are basically just kind of cut-ups from that first trailer. So we don't get a lot of new things with Green Book here. But speaking of Best Picture contenders, like we started with Roma, Green Book has debuted as number one on Award Circuit's new list. This is a 90%, 8 out of 10 on Rotten Tomatoes, 69 Metascore, which doesn't make any sense or sex.
It doesn't make any sex. That's a little confusing, too. And is that a red flag? We say don't live and die, but Metascore seems to be, for us at least, kind of the most consistent indicator of enjoyment.
Best Picture, Director, Actor, Supporting Actress, Original Screenplay, Costume Design, Film Editing, and Original Score nominations are all distinct possibilities according to a bunch of our go-to predictor websites, Michael.
Yeah, we're getting the puzzle pieces now. We talked all of last year about that Oscar puzzle. The mural's kind of been painted. All the movies are about to be released or have been released. Mm-hmm. And now we're breaking them down into pieces, and we're going to see how the awards, because we have this one that's up for a billion awards. Yeah. Everyone's still sure A Star is Born is going to win a billion awards. Roma is a shoo-in for a billion awards. Well, guess what? They can't all be. Something's going to muscle another thing out, and it's going to be interesting to see where the pieces land.
A lot of good hype men. It's almost like they're all represented by different studios or something.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Viggo Mortensen, Mahershala Ali.
It confuses me.
Linda Cardellini.
I'm just a simple caveman lawyer.
I'm shocked that this movie hasn't released more than one trailer. Because, I mean, the one trailer is good.
Yeah. You know what? I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. And I'd rather not get as inundated. The next one we're going to talk about, not necessarily that one, but there's been a couple on this list that are kind of overexposed already, and they're still weeks to come. So I'm okay with the pacing of this one.
Here's another good sign, though. It makes me feel like that this story is focused and it really knows what it wants to do. Because if you can cut around B and C stories for your main trailer.
And have enough anticipation built up,
and be able to focus your main trailer, that shows me that it's very linear, very clear, and the setups to your scenes or the payoffs are kind of ambiguous enough, but the setups are good. Essentially, if you can weave a good trailer together sometimes, that's a good sign, because they don't mess with the B and C stories at all.
No.
From that first trailer to the TV spot, and they nailed the TV spots.
The theme is the book. That infamous Green Book, which was a very real thing back in the 60s, the civil rights era, of the places. It was written by this man who had the last name Green. It was places. He was an African-American man, and it was a book made for African-American people to travel to know which hotels had accommodating for that separate but equal bullshit that went on.
They stick to the road trip storyline for that TV spot. I really appreciated that, and again, the focus is a good sign to me. I think the Star is Born TV spots, remember, we hated those so much, or I hated those.
It was the overexposure problem too, though, with those.
Yeah, but it was so weird, because like they did a Dave Chappelle one, right?
I'm worried about you, man.
And weren't we freaking out about that? Like, this is just a mess. Like, that doesn't sell the
movie.
No,
you're absolutely
right.
Just have her
sing Shallow. What are we doing? I like Dave Chappelle. He's great in the movie. I'm happy with
him. But then again, it brought up all these concerns, and they melted away in that first scene where he's strumming out and proving he can be a rock star. So who knows what's in store for this.
True.
Maybe we can be looking over it. But this one and the next one, Mary Queen of Scots, I kind of wanted to take the reviews in tandem. You've seen the Mary Queen of Scots trailer already. It's going to be a war of words between Saoirse Ronan and Margot Robbie. They are two warring queens of Scotland and England, and it's about the story of how Mary Queen of Scots came to power. Right. And my God, does this one look juicy. My review for this trailer is the same as my review for Green Book, in that I just want to see these movies. Like, we may have the four acting category winners in these two films. We may. It's probably not going to happen, but it could. And I just want to see. I'm just sick of the hype. Just give them to me. I'm ready to digest.
Yeah, a lot of the pundits have been down trending on the main categories. It has a puncher's chance at best actress, supporting actress, adapted screenplay, cinematography, and film editing.
Are we really going to have a period piece of drama where Margot Robbie wars with Saoirse Ronan, and we're not going to have one award winner from that movie?
I don't know. It's worrisome. Again, you talk about reviews not being released yet. I remember during the festivals, the buzz was not all that positive.
I hear you. I remember it.
According to those same pundits, though, this movie does have a good chance at production design, costume design, makeup and hairstyling, and original score. Who knows? Maybe they'll fix this darn thing by the time the movie comes out in post, and they'll figure it out. But this is a much more ominous trailer, Mike. It's also a very different trailer than we got the first time, which tells me they kind of swung and missed with that first trailer.
That's a good point.
Now, right from the jump, we're thrown into the history. Mary Queen of Scots is her prisoner. You know, we know that she's up for execution. We know. And then we go through like flashbacks of the rise to power kind of thing.
I still think it's not the trailer or the tone that this movie should be in order to win. I think this should just be like rock music, just an ass-kicking feminist product instead of it leans so heavily into the period drama that it is. That elegant music, that backstory, you know. I just wish it was kind of like a Knight's Tale type marketing where we have like modern rock songs where we're just telling this story about these badass women that literally went to war with one another.
There's a lot of conniving men pulling strings I think in the real history of it, if I remember anything. And then of course, in this trailer, it seemed like the guy Pierce's and the brothers with the armies at their back, they have something to say about this. There's also like a counter movement by chauvinists angry with the
I don't mean to read too much into anything, but it's almost as if white men ruin things.
White men have a history. But listen, I just fear the lack of reviews here.
It's a completely substantiated worry, without question. Anytime you're having this thing presented as an awards winner and a heavy favorite, and you're holding it back until release time for reviews, that's absolutely something to raise a flag about.
And then I worry about Oscar pundits giving it praise for the design categories, but nothing else.
It's going to suggest to me how much better and well-rounded a film maybe The Favorite is than this one.
Yeah.
Because you hear nothing but glowing things about The Favorite. It's already been reviewed. People love it for production design. Mm-hmm. The acting is phenomenal. Olivia Colman is probably the third most famous name attached to that movie.
Right.
And yet she's the one that's most likely to win an award. So I think, if nothing else, this is kind of setting up. I know that's not the intent of this movie, obviously. It's to win awards for itself. But if nothing else, I think it's setting up the table for us to digest The Favorite and really appreciate what it has. It could be that's obviously a problem for Mary Queen of Scots, but I think that's kind of where we are in the zeitgeist anyway.
Well, the next trailer we'll go after here is The Front Runner. This is trailer 2. This is out now in limited release. I think our friends at Next Best Picture just finished a review for it. This is the Hugh Jackman as Gary Hart political campaign movie with Vera Farmiga and J.K. Simmons.
Great cast. Phenomenal cast.
Jason Reitman is the director. The critical score has kind of improved since the festivals, and then they drop back down a bit. This has a 60 Metascore, 62% on Rotten Tomatoes, with a 6.5 out of 10 critic score.
Yeah, I was doing a little research about this. I saw Bill Burr was on Jimmy Kimmel recently. He plays one of the reporters that follows Hart around. And he said that on set, during one of the openings of this, he was there. And on set, there's a scene where Hugh Jackman whips around and gives a really intense, impassioned speech. And he said he actually dropped his notebook. He was a reporter having little small notebooks. And he actually dropped it. And he said people were coming up to him afterwards saying, what a great decision you made in dropping that notebook. And what a great artistic choice. And Bill Burr's response was, no, I was just scared. I saw Wolverine for a second on set. So I thought that was a nice little limerick to come out of this, if nothing else. The scores, they're bouncing back a little bit. I think this one's kind of disappointed, at least in terms of awards and Oscar contention. I think it's kind of disappointed people that have had access to it.
Now, Mike, we loved the first trailer.
It looked great. It really did.
I love this trailer, too. I think it's fantastic.
And that worries me. The fact that it does look so good. I mean, look, the last Batman v Superman trailer looked
awesome.
Looked awesome back in 3 years ago. Yeah, and it was terrible. It still managed to be that disappointing. So there is room and precedent for this to happen. But you're right. They do look great.
The do or do not speech at the end. And there's also like political momentum. Again, kind of that second trailer giving us more insights to the story, as we've seen as a trend in our first year of analyzing trailers. The second and third trailers give you more insight to the narrative. And I just think it's crazy to think about kind of the stakes in this one too, because it's really kind of branching out wider. We also have more than one reference to George W. Bush or George H. W. Bush in this sense. Think about it. Like, he goes against Gary Hart and he's trailing in the polls, apparently. Going against Gary Hart for a while, or at least the threat of Gary Hart.
Right.
And he's taken down for womanizing. And then Bush ultimately loses to Clinton, who of course is taken down for womanizing. So the Democrats, if they kept it in their pants, the country would not be in the shape it's in today.
Yeah, well, one, to say Bill Clinton was brought down, and two, to say that the Democrats are the ones that can't keep it in their pants at this point in 2018 is a little much, but yeah, I get the idea.
But back then, it was us.
I also wonder about the lens.
Not us, because we don't have sex with people, but with them. We're single.
Oh, God.
This is a long recording
session, folks. Reality just crashed down on my head.
So watch movies with us.
I wonder if the lens people view this movie through is going to affect things as well.
Because TMI.
It seems to be... Wait, TMI. It seems to be that they're telling the story of this was like the turning point for American journalism, in that they never really got involved with political figures' personal lives or sex lives. They made the conscious choice to attack Gary Hart and expose his personal life, even though it didn't really have a bearing on his professional life, and that's kind of where the news has evolved to. I wonder if you view it through the lens of it telling that story versus the lens of it telling the story of Gary Hart, the person and politician, if you'll appreciate it a little more. I just that's something I've noticed in the interviews that I've watched and kind of read up on.
It's pretty fascinating. I wonder if they can channel the momentum of the trailer, and if that's in the movie. And we've seen Jason Reitman make really great movies.
Sure, but I could also see a problem with that too, because if they're positioning Gary Hart to be this character of holier than thou and piousness and how dare you, like, not how dare you, but
it's just too obvious, the setup and then the fall kind of thing.
Right, pride, and it's like, why, if he is the guy that's going to be the one judging everyone, dude, you just banged another girl that wasn't your wife. Why are you the moral compass of this movie? Right. So, you know, I think there is enough to question. We'll see. You're right. We both did thoroughly enjoy both trailers that have hit. So,
and we like these movies even when they're bad.
We do.
So we don't care. So we're going to see this at whatever point. But Jackman has dipped in terms of his popularity. He's only being touted as a nominee by three experts on Gold Derby, and he's now 15th on award circuit. So his Oscar buzz has crashed down.
You know what else surprised me is that not a single Gold Derby expert had J.K. Simmons listed as a supporting actor top five. And I would have thought that's his category since, you know, Whiplash, he won it, obviously, won the Oscar, but he's nowhere to be found.
These movies take people down with them. You know, like, the movie comes out, it's a 60% across the board, it's off the radar, it's just poo-pooed upon, and therefore, even if it's a great performance in there, we'd rather nominate a poor performance on the same level from a more prestigious film.
Yeah. If you're interested in about reading more about the backstory of this, and how basically that meta angle that I just talked about how journalism, this was a pivot point in American journalism. Glenn Garvin of the Miami Herald, who it was the Herald reporters who blew the whistle on Gary Hart's affair. Glenn Garvin of the Miami Herald had a great article, came out November 13th, just a couple days ago. Fascinating read.
Really? So they kind of did. He did like a retrospective on his own reporting.
Yeah.
Next
one is If Beale Street Could Talk. It's the second trailer. And again, much like one of the early trailers we talked about today, for Roma, we're seeing a lot more about what this movie has in store for us.
The buzz is on the trend in the opposite direction of the front runner, Mike. This is going up, up, up.
Yeah, with scores to match across the board.
On the ascent. Best Picture, director Barry Jenkins, cinematography, supporting actress Regina King, adapted screenplay, film editing, and original score seem to have predictions that will hold up at the end of the day. These seem to be likely nominees.
88 Metascore, 94% on Rotten Tomato right now, 8.6 average critical
score. The critics love it. So the critics are the gatekeepers here. They go to the festivals. If they love it, now we got buzz that's just out of control. Now everybody's saying Barry Jenkins did it again.
And I'll say this was the score. I mean, the score in this trailer was the one that got to me most. I thought this was a powerful, powerful
awesome.
Score. Very uplifting as well. Very face-driven. And Barry Jenkins, to me, already had...
I'll go into that a little bit. Yep, but face-driven.
Barry Jenkins, to me, has already a very defined style of filmmaking.
True.
In that Martin Scorsese is always going to have the Jesus on the cross type scene.
For sure. Well, look at the Moonlight poster.
Barry Jenkins has that low angle, close up, tight shot of people's faces, looking off into the distance and looking up. And it's just such a Barry Jenkins signature. Yeah. And I feel like in this trailer, it told a world of story.
Well-groomed individuals, no nose hairs, make sure that they're camera ready. Right. Actors probably
great
make
makeup
sure this
team
stuff.
There, yeah.
In general, us cave trolls.
Yeah,
so much.
I can't. I pulled a nose hair and my brain came out once. So that's. But to me, in such a short time too, because he doesn't really have a lush directorial filmography.
Yeah, not really. It's just Moonlight. He knocked it all apart.
And to have only basically that one well-known movie and to follow it up and already say, yeah, that's a Barry Jenkins property without question.
I mean, you could see the Oscar nominations happening in this trailer for the production values, right?
No doubt.
For cinematography, it's like a shoo-in, right? I don't care if the movie sucks. It's impossible. Regina King is phenomenal in this trailer as well. I thought Stephen James is being underestimated because his performances in both trailers are just blowing my mind what he's doing. Like, how do we have Robert Redford above him? By anyone. Does that make any sense
because
whatsoever?
Because of legacy. That's about it. That's a great point as well. I think this and Roma, we always talk about the tie-in between the editing category and the best picture category. I think these are two for editing nominees, without question. And they're going to be best picture nominees.
It looks like it. Production design, actor Stephen James, actress Kiki Layne. These are also possibilities from all the pundits. Apparently right now, award circuit is really pushing this adapted screenplay, original score, Regina King, they're number ones for award circuit at the moment. But we get more context in the trailer. There's also another focus on a different scene than we saw the focus from the first trailer. It's kind of on the dinner table, Kiki Layne announcing to her mother that she's pregnant. In this scene, only if she can talk, but in this scene, she announces to the family. So it's like continuity between the trailers, announces to the family, and she gets different reactions. One grandmother is thoroughly upset. One grandfather is really loving of his granddaughter there, or
kinda
his
like
daughter.
I
don't know if it's father or grandfather.
The generational acceptance of the culture as opposed to just individual characters and how they are going to act. And again, that kind of harkens back to what we said we loved so much about the Roma trailer.
Sure.
How it seems like a place and time is a character more so than the people themselves.
Oh, absolutely. New York City. Don't you want to take a trip into the city after watching this trailer?
Nah.
Well, I don't want to see any NYPD, but I want to see... I kind of want to go in the city again.
I always do poorly in the city. I'm a terrible city person. There's nowhere to sit. You go in the city, I just want to sit. There's nowhere to sit. A bad back. I'm a fat guy. I like sitting.
I can't remember. What's the goddamn app that I have on my cell phone right now with the Uber? Uber. Now with Uber,
you couldn't
you like
think
it
of
more?
Uber?
I couldn't think of Uber. I don't go in the cities. I drive my own car everywhere I need to go.
But, there's an Uber where I could just sit and like be driven around. I'm down with that. There's the Statue of Liberty. That'll be $314.
Hey kids, Big Ben, Parliament. All right, listen, this is quacking like a whole gaggle of Oscar ducks.
Yes,
we've
I'm
said
very
that
excited for it.
Several times here. If Beale Street can talk, and I have to see it soon. All right, now we're going to like more puncher's chance fringe movies here, Michael. Welcome to Marwin 2.
Once upon a time, I said this seemed like a best picture picture. Best picture? Yeah. Best picture film, and no, not anymore. Falling off a cliff.
And I called it Welcome to Marwin 2, so we're getting punchy as hell right now. You call it Best Picture Picture.
Yes.
Listen, it's trailer 2 for Welcome to Marwin. This is Steve Carell's vehicle. This was pushed back, Michael, in favor of Green Book getting pushed up.
Yes, that was the story, and that kind of tells you all you need to hear, I think, about what the studio itself thinks of this as having awards chances of being seen as an Oscar.
Green Book is going to get that Oscar push.
Right.
It's going to get that Oscar slot in November, Thanksgiving. This movie is now basically being looked at as a possibility for some technical categories on a few punditry sites, a few predictor sites, but I'm not seeing a whole lot here. We know Robert Zemeckis as an innovative director. We have a great cast, Diane Kruger, Leslie Mann, Janelle Monáe, along with Carell and company. seem to be giving strong performances in the trailer. This one doesn't have him screaming like brick in the middle of the trailer when we're supposed to be like, that was the Oscar grab trailer, right? The first one that didn't play well.
Yes.
And then like a week later, we heard the announcement that, we're going to put Green Book here.
Robert Zemeckis' recent history, too, as far as movies he's directed, it's kind of been hit or miss. Polar Express in 2004, it made a lot of money. A lot of kids went to see it and then followed it up with Beowulf, which was supposed to be this legendary technological marvel that nobody went to see.
Right.
Ups and Downs, Flight, you know, Christmas Carol, The Walk, nobody saw. So
it's a tough juxtaposition to think about this trailer. Again, that's a word I've recently learned.
Yeah, you love that word. I'm so very
now happy. I love it. And basically,
put it on a T-shirt, I think.
I finally was able to pronounce it. So then I learned it.
Anything with an X is a nice little. It's tough. Like the X is a nice little surprise.
Adjusting my retainer, but now I can say that, and I'm retainer free. And
good for you.
This trailer, it's just like a weird. The story elements, it's a weird mixture.
What do you mean by that?
Because you have like Toy Story meets. Some courtroom drama where a guy is traumatized.
Greg Kinnear getting beat up in the beginning of As Good As It Gets.
Isn't that strange? Yeah. Like, all right, we're going to do a serious, heavy drama, Oscar grabby Toy Story with brick screams.
Right. Yeah, it's not a good...
I don't know what we're yelling about.
Not an everyday mix, I would agree with. I thought this had kind of the family values type, the family story. It could interest the kids, could be interested in it. But there's also a heavy drama for the parents to relate to. But I thought maybe I could sneak in the Oscars that way. And it just seems like all momentum has stopped. And even the studio's kind of abandoned hope with it. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I have high expectations for it, to be honest. Which is a shame because this was the Steve Carell year.
Right.
And it doesn't seem like it's going to happen.
He was really good and beautiful boy. I was so impressed. I'm actually, he's in my top five right now for his beautiful boy.
I have hope. He deserves it. He's awesome, a great dramatic actor. He doesn't get nearly enough credit.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse trailer 2, Michael. We love that trailer 1.
I would like this to win things. I don't think it's going to, but I would like it to.
Now, that first trailer, he's diving from the skyscraper, right?
I don't know how they animated this movie at all. I don't understand it. It looks unbelievable.
Just, like, blew us away at the end of that trailer. Again, I'm starting to learn trailer narrative science here. Because they end the first trailer with that money shot of him jumping off the skyscraper, and now we have the second trailer beginning with that same shot.
You see what they did there?
All right. Pick it up where you left off. And this seems to
just splats on the ground. In this.
This seems to be like, well, you
got your web.
You got enough spider people. Even the protagonist. No. You have this trailer seem to be directed more towards the kids, right? Let's make sure we get the box office. The Oscar punditry on board with us. This seemed like a kid's trailer.
Which is smart. On the heels of The Grinch just making $67 million in its opening weekend. There's a fertile ground, this lush market there for kids' properties that adults can still go see and enjoy. So that seems like a smart decision.
Hey, kids, remember Peter Parker? Well, here's Peter Parker. Now he's going to take a new Spider-Man under his wing.
I think Miles Morales is for the kids, whereas Peter Parker's there for, like, us to relate to. And Jake Johnson's voicing him. Who doesn't love Jake Johnson?
We got Kingpin. We got Scorpion. We have cartoon characters from other Spider-Verses. I didn't know there are multiple dimensions here, Mike. We got a Spider-Pig?
Apparently.
Thought that was just a Peter Griffin joke.
Or Homer Simpson. Why?
Homer Simpson. Homer Simpson.
Spider Pig. Spider Pig.
From the movie.
That might be a callback to the movie, actually. I'm not 100% positive it's a real thing in comic book world.
Wow.
Obviously this means a lot with the recent passing of Stan Lee as well. Sure. It's a nice homage to him and his legacy and his work. Again, I'd love to see this contend for animated feature. We're going to see it regardless.
Yeah, but we're going to be extra sentimental after Stan Lee. Of course. There's no question. Animated movies have been crushing it at this year's box office, as you said.
Yeah, I'm going on record, though. Wreck-It Ralph 2 is going to win. I think the fix is in for Disney,
Question. Wreck-It Ralph 2 makes more money than The Incredibles and The Grinch. Does this make more money than all of them? Which wins the box office of the animated juggernauts?
Yeah, having just paused the episode and looked up some numbers, obviously nothing's going to touch Incredibles 2. I mean, $182 million for an opening weekend release is decent.
Right. $1.2 billion.
And if Wreck-It Ralph doesn't win the Oscar for animated feature, I believe The Incredibles 2 will. I'm still going with it to poise it as kind of an upset. Disney's winning that Oscar. Disney is winning that Oscar.
Unless we have Ruben Brandt Collector Mike. Now, this was the strangest trailer I've come across
I'm not artistic enough to get this.
I was shocked to see that this is in Award Circuit's top five right now for best animated feature at this year's Oscars.
All right, that's great.
It's four critical reviews. That's it so far on Rotten Tomatoes. This is definitely a cartoon for adults. The premise, they go way too long on the premise, so I'm just basically going to break it down for you now, is this character, the protagonist. Characters come out of these paintings
right.
and attack him. So
art is bad. Stop painting.
So he kind of gets the help of this cat burglar, art thief, to help him steal these pieces of art so that he doesn't get attacked. I don't know what's going on. There's nudity in this trailer. there's just not just in the art world, but there's
eyes
like
lit up like a boy on Christmas with that. Yeah,
there's all kinds of violence.
It does look quite interesting, but it's also not the first quote unquote interesting animated feature film we've reviewed. We had the one about a mermaid. We got the Mirai one where the kid goes through a magical garden. Yeah. So
this kind of had a similar effect on me. Like, this is batshit crazy.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I'm just lost. I'm
like,
here to watch.
Sci-fi psychology going on where this guy's like waxing poetic on, you know, the id and ego and super ego in the trailer. And then he's like being tormented by these paintings coming to life. And I don't know what to expect. Like, maybe we'll love this. Award Circuit sure loves the hell out of this movie.
Go get him, Spider-Man.
Milorad Krstić is the writer director here. It's definitely looks like it's going to be a critical hit.
Yeah. If the momentum keeps up, we're definitely going to check it out and review it for ourselves. So stay tuned for that.
We're going to go rapid fire through the next bunch of trailers here. We have Love, Gilda. This is now available on VOD. This is about Gilda Radner. I've nearly rented this a half dozen times, including last night. I went for RBG instead.
Okay.
I don't love this trailer. The trailer is very, very sappy. Obviously, Gilda Radner riffing, Gilda Radner highlights are fun to watch.
Yeah, I know a little bit of her personal story, too. I think I saw a biography on her something back in the day. It is a very rough retelling. She had her own demons to deal with. So there's certainly enough drama there to tell to balance out the comedy.
Won the audience award at Cinetopia. It's currently number 8 on Award Circuit for Best Doc. Now, it hasn't been on like a lot of short lists so far.
Yeah,
and
I didn't get
nominated at the Critics'
seen
Choice.
It in a lot of places.
Right. So I just wanted to add it as an honorable mention here. It's on VOD. We're probably going to see it soon.
Yeah, we love the performance docs, and we love people that are tied into the industry like that. And she certainly had a fascinating career, if not tragic backstory to accompany it. So probably worth a watch on our end as well.
The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, trailer number 2, Michael, seems a little bit more epic here. It's like a slower pace film. We get to look at all the pretty scenery a little bit more.
This is a collection of short stories, right?
Right.
So I'm interested to see how they pull this off. The Coen brothers have a touch and a style that lends itself to a lot of different characters anyway.
Yep.
So I don't think it'll be that much of a stretch, but I am interested. I don't remember a collection of short stories being talked about in Oscar stones anytime recently.
So we're recording this middle of the week. We're going to release this later in the week. This drops.
Yeah, it's probably out now.
It's out now
as you're listening to this.
We'll weigh in on it in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
We'll probably watch it.
Whether it's a full-fledged OSP or something, yeah.
And worst case, we'll do it on a weekly pod. And cinematography, screenplay, some technical categories seem to have a puncher's chance at the Oscars. It's still a Coen Brothers film. They're still big names. They're Oscar royalty in the sense that they've been nominated a bunch of times for a bunch of different movies. And, of course, one for No Country for Old Men in that year. So you never know. This could gain some more momentum than it has originally here when everybody has the option to see it. So if people
that's
like
when you're gonna
it,
know for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if people like it, then more people will see
right.
it.
It'll
then
definitely get a momentum.
You get a bump.
Yeah, we talked about what that kind of momentum can do. We talked about it in the terms of financial dollars, which we won't know because Netflix never releases numbers. But we talked about it in terms of financial dollars for Rami Malek's Oscar chances
yeah.
with Bohemian Rhapsody, how it got killed by critics pretty much. But there's certainly a sustained watch for this movie and his performance.
Something's got to buoy you up,
right?
If it's not the critical numbers, it better be the goddamn box
right.
office
exactly.
or watch numbers there. Birds of Passage, this is on Feinberg's shortlist for Best Foreign Feature. Award Circuit's number 9, 92%, 7.4 with an 86 Metascore. Numbers are big, Michael. What'd you think?
Why am I not impressed? Like, there's a skeleton
yeah.
here for a rich story.
The visuals are wackadoo, right?
I mean,
it's
like
just
it looks like a student's art film to me.
It's very, very strange because you have a almost like a Colombian drug movie, right?
Right.
But then you have all these tribal elements with all these, you know, these it almost seems like fish out of water, like this little village with all their superstitions, and you have a drug movie. And this is supposed to be about the origins of the Colombian drug trade.
Very minimalist, I guess you could say that. It doesn't look like there's a lot of bells and whistles attached as far as
effects. A lot of ritual,
effects.
Though, in the trailer. Like, yeah. I don't know what this movie's about if you didn't know it's a drug meal or a drug story.
Yeah, I just wasn't overly impressed. Those numbers really do surprise me, and maybe it's worth checking out. Or maybe it's people attached to the film, like I say more films should do, hitting the critic scores first and putting them, pumping them way up, which I don't understand why it doesn't happen more often, even people that are tangentially, like the wife of the Key Grip, if the Key Grip himself cannot go on there to score the movie. I don't understand why more movies don't do that. Is it deceitful? Yeah, but you know what? You need your name out there for marketing purposes.
Exactly. All right. So that's our Oscars portion of this episode. We're going to weigh in on a couple because
we have to weigh in on Detective Pikachu. We have to.
Okay, so
I have no idea.
You have to drive
this
here because I don't.
So Pikachu, voiced by Ryan Reynolds, apparently is going to help this young kid find his father. But like Brian the dog and Family Guy, only certain people can understand him. So the kid can understand him, but to everyone else, it's just him saying Pika Pika, and it's the real life version of the Pokemon Pikachu. This is going to make $1 jillion at the box office because people have been clamoring for Pokemon to be in the real world. And this shows a couple pretty true-to-life Pokemon interacting with humans in the trailer itself.
There's a lot of Pokemon in the trailer.
Yes, and it's in the real world. It's not cartoon. It's not anime. I mean, it's animated to some extent, but it's not like it doesn't look animated. It looks like they're actually there.
Can you answer me this? Because I'm beyond Pokemon. I'm too old for it.
Right.
It wasn't my childhood. Because there's Pokemon, are there still animals? The animal kingdom, does it exist with Pokemon?
That's an interesting question. I don't know. That's a good question. I'm going to say yes, only because I don't want to live in a world without dogs. But that's a good question. This movie seems like an acid trip. It looks like it was pitched during a group acid trip. It's like...
it's like a weird choice for Pikachu. Like, yeah. I would think, like...
Detective Pikachu.
Sarah Silverman does like Pikachu's voice.
It sounds like an SNL skit, and I agree. I don't know that Ryan Reynolds is the right choice I would have made, but maybe he'll fit perfectly.
He's funny. You know, he's got a
chance. I swear the Pokemon is talking to me, man. Like, if you're going to base it in reality, that's basically what you're pitching here.
And now we know Pikachu is male? He's Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah. I think it was some execs took an acid trip around smoking something different, and this was pitched, and by the time everyone came to, they already had Deadpool's signature on a cocktail napkin, so they had to go through with making it.
The Secret Life of Pets 2, Michael. I really liked the first movie. This trailer made me laugh.
I laughed out loud during the whole trailer.
Pet psychology stuff. The first movie killed me when they're at the sausage factory. Just like the dogs are belly up because they ate so much sausage. That's enough for me.
We love dogs.
To make me laugh so heartily.
Yes, I'm with you.
I love that first movie.
My only comment on Secret Life of Pets 2, good for Illumination, the studio. Obviously, Louis C.K. was the head. He played the Max role in the first one. They replaced him. No fanfare. Give it to Patton Oswalt, who's, by all accounts, a legitimately decent human being. Has a great backstory, a tragic backstory in and of itself with his wife passing away. But he's a relatable character. He's an inspiring character. People can relate to that and see hope in him. And good job by the studio for just forging forward with the franchise anyway. And Patton Oswalt is overdue for his own franchise, by the way. I think he's more than talented enough to carry this, so I'm all for it.
You wanted Ratatouille 2.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Ratatouille, yeah.
That's the easiest sequel ever, Pixar! Come on, man!
I wish animals spoke.
Was a stretch to put the 7 as the V, but this makes sense. Like, you have to think of the word written to move the 7 inside of the S and E to an E-N. This makes sense.
I'm convinced this is what marketing meetings are. Just this banter, and then something written on a board somewhere.
Ah, you're fired. Mike number 2. Toy Story 4.
Joe
good God.
Tory's lesser known vegan
Joe
brother.
Joe Tory 3.
Soy Tory.
I like this teaser. It made me laugh.
Yeah, it's fun.
Initially, I remembered all the characters and what they looked like up close spinning around.
What has been the point of these teasers? Just to announce the film's coming?
Yes, and to make me smile, and to have music in front of visuals. And then Key and Peele basically do their Liam Neeson skit as this bear, this light neon green bear. Like
carnival animals.
And little yellow chick. Peele is the bear, Key is the chick, the chicken. And
should there be another Toy Story sequel?
Toy Story 3 was great, though.
It was such
a
great ending.
It's like my best movie of that
year. It's like Breaking Bad's ending. Like, you don't need to have the Breaking Bad movie either.
They're making a Breaking Bad movie.
You ended it perfect. Money aside, take the money out of it, because obviously it also will make a jillion dollars. Do you also, Mike, think we need or there should be a fourth Toy Story?
Look, if Under Pressure by Queen featuring David Bowie is in this movie, then, you know, it could work. They might have a chance at making some money.
That's the bar?
That is an inside joke of a dead horse. This is a dead horse, almost pre-dead, where he's just going, and then I kick him and actually kill the horse. And poor that's horse. Where we've gotten.
I wish it was in Secret Life of Pets so I could talk and tell you how much damage you've done to it.
I just made a terrible animal-hating analogy, and I love animals. I can't even hurt a fly. I let them live. So we have the sequel coming. It's going to make a bajillion dollars, so it's irrelevant whether we need it or not, Mike.
Yeah, no, that's certainly true. It does not matter what we think
about
that. We're
going to put Key and Peele in it, and then we're going to make an extra $500 million
because Key and Peele is in it. It was a great movie. Great ending. Yeah, those are the Oscar trailers.
That's next year's Oscar Best Animated Feature.
We ended on a couple looking forward, as we tend to do, but... Mm-hmm. We think this is the last one, like we said up the top. We think this is the final time you'll get hearing Oscar previews being reviewed by us in Oscar trailer number 6. You can go back. We have a nice playlist of them for you right now. If you go back and look at our 2018-19 Oscars, I think that's the name of the playlist, 2018-19 Oscars. The lead up to, there's going to be all the Oscar trailers, previews,
all the
and
buzz,
reviews that
the
we
film
did.
Festival recaps. Right. And these Oscar trailer episodes, as you know by now, they're kind of our way to get at the previewing of these movies.
Exactly. It's their standalone previews, basically.
And we recap all the specs and kind of the Oscar punditry of whatever that time
and
place
is. And we
kind
of give you a preview of the lens we're going to view these movies through. So when it does come time for the Oscar Sprint profile, you're not starting from scratch. You're kind of getting an idea of where we stand on them already. And if our minds change, then great.
If you don't want too much, I mean, even though we don't spoil movies in the first half of our OSPs, if you want just more true preview stuff, then we hit these in the Oscar trailer episodes. And we hit all the Oscar movies. So we'll get 20-something previews for the price of one listen.
There you go. So we want to know your thoughts on any of these previews and any more. If you have any ideas about stuff that we have not previewed in these episodes yet that you think will be an Oscar contender, we want to hear that from you too. And you could reach out to us, as always, through the social media, Mike and Oscar on Facebook, Mike and Oscar on Instagram, MM and Oscar on Twitter, MikeMikeAndOscar.com @gmail.com, and on Reddit. We are available everywhere that you hear podcasts, or at least I'll say 99% of the places that you hear podcasts. Michael, final words of wisdom here?
Why fight the friction, Michael? Why am I not writing talking animals into all my stories? Well, because they just make a bajillion, schmajillion, fajillion dollars.
As the legendary poets Imagine Dragons told us in the Mission Impossible preview.
Which just came out on VOD. Go listen to our series. Go watch Fallout, one of our favorite movies of the year, by the way.
You can't fight the friction. No. Talking and I think animals. It says easier. I don't understand, but yeah.
Easier. Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, no, it makes no sense.
What is happening?
Talking animals. I'm for it. I wish my dog could talk. I'd be a jillionaire.
See ya.